for just a little bit. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark 14. And we want to look at this, just read a little bit of this story in introduction for the lesson tonight. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil. Then she broke the flask and she poured it on his head. Some got upset because they were critical of her and criticized her sharply. You could have sold that and fed many poor people. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always." She had done, and listen to this, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. What can you do for the Lord? And sometimes when we're thinking about what we can do for the Lord, we're thinking, man, you know, if I could play the lottery, you know, I won the lottery, I'd give the church $1 million. I've heard people tell me that, well, you know, I'm playing the lottery, but if I win, I'm giving the church the money. And I'm thinking, okay, won't you just give the church the money you're going to put in there and it'd be a whole lot better off. But we've got to think about what we do and how we use what we have. We need to realize the church has so many people that are so talented, that can do so many things. And we see this just like in Family and Friends Day. People said, "I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this and I'll do that." Even Tom cooked. Did y'all know that? He was talking about cooking. He did. We appreciate that. And somebody thought, "I don't know if he can do that." Yes, he can. You can do what you want to do, can't you? Now, you can't do everything, but you can do some things. And what we've got to do is to do like this lady did. She did what she could. If we do what we can, there's no telling what we can do. Our problem is sometimes if we say we can't. But what we need to do is say, "I'll try." Now, I got a little lesson today at lunch. I was eating with some people, and there was one lady there that was kind of critical of Mark and mine singing. And I told her that she shouldn't talk that way in public. But she said, "You know, Mark and they were talking about doing things," and Linda said, "Well, Mark and Charles's ability is not in singing, I can tell you that." And they're right, you know, "I'll do it if I have to, but boy, you won't let me do it again." But I don't worry about that. I've got other things I can do, and I need to do those other things. We need to find our talents and find our abilities and use those things and do those things and really be involved in things. And don't look at what you do and say, "It's not anything." Here, this lady just poured a little oil. It was expensive. Probably had it for a long time. Poured a little oil on the feet and on the head of Jesus, anointing him before his burial. The people that were there, probably Judas, maybe some of the Pharisees, maybe some of the Sadducees, were critical of that. "Oh, that could be sold and given to the poor, and think about how many poor people you could feed." And Jesus said, "Let me tell you something. She's done a good thing. Don't criticize her. She's done a good thing. She's anointed my body before burial." And listen, remember, you got a whole lot of poor people out there that you could still help. Don't worry about it. You're not going to have not enough poor people around for you to help. You got a lot of people to help. And then he goes on to state, she has done what she could. Let me ask you something. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can for the Lord? Now that's the thing we've got to ask ourselves. Are we really doing what we can for the Lord? I think it's important that we realize that. It's important that we realize we've got to do what I can. And we're going to be judged by that. And so here, that's what Jesus, I think one of the points that Jesus was trying to get across in this is he wanted people to understand that. Now, Judas and the others could get upset and they could say, "Well, we want to do this, we want to do that." But this lady did what she could. Listen, don't be critical of what other people do. If it's good, now if it's wrong, talk to them about it. But if it's good, compliment them about it. I don't care what it is. You compliment them and say, you're doing a good job. Appreciate that. You don't know how far that goes. You don't know how good that is when people tell you that. Now, and we need to tell other people that. We've got to be willing to do that. Jesus said, wherever in the world the gospel goes in the future, that woman's going to be talked about. She's going to be praised for that. And I think we need to praise our women for what they do. Don't y'all? Okay, some of you men are going to suffer big time after that one. You missed that one. That was a way to really make yourself look good. And I don't say that as a joke. The ladies do a great, great work. Men have business meetings. Ladies get things done. Right? That's it. That's right. They get stuff done. They don't think about talking about it. They just get a hold of it and get it accomplished. And see, they use their talents. And we all need to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to do that because it's an important thing. Now, what we've got to do is to realize we've got to use what we have. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. We need to be people that recognize our limitations, though. And you see, when you talk about lessons like this and you tell people we need to be those people that use our talents, use our abilities, nobody ever says, wait a minute, I don't have the talent to do all that. Oh, the church is going to have a fundraiser and they're going to ask people to give money for a big building program. Now, that's just an illustration. Nobody's asking for money for that right now. And somebody says, well, I'll give $1 million. Do you have $1 million? No. Do you have the possibility of getting $1 million? No. Do you think in some way you could go get $1 million from somebody? No. Don't say you can when you know you can't. Know your limitations. Now, stretch yourself a little bit, but know the limitations that you have. How do we know that, though? How can we be able to figure that out and work on that? We've got to recognize it. God understands that we all have limitations. We all have things that we can do and we can't do. We might need to look and to push ourselves a little bit about some things to see what we can do. God does not expect you to do what you can't do. He does not expect you to give what you can't give. But He does expect you to do what you can do and to give what you can give. He expects what you can, not what you can't. We've got to understand that. We've got to recognize that. And we see Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and verse 12, was talking to the people at Corinth about their giving. He said, I want you to give. I want you to do that. I want you to give. But now listen, he gives them some parameters to judge that. Look at what he said in verse 12 there. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, you first got to decide, I want to do it. Now, if you're not going to, don't say you will. Don't say you will. I was with a bunch of preachers one time, and boy, all those guys was talking about wanting to do this, wanting to do that, and one of the fellows stood up and said, okay, let's everybody give $150. Well, I was the treasurer. Do you know what we got? About three of them gave $150, where 15 said that they would. Now, that's a lie, isn't it? Isn't that what that is? Don't say what you can't. Don't commit to something if you can't do it. So here, Paul is saying, listen, first of all, you make up your mind you're going to do it. Okay, you don't have to, but you can make up your mind you want to do it. Then look as he goes on. It is accepted according to that a man has. Okay, you can give what you have. You can't give what you don't have. And so here he's saying you need to give, first of all, commit it. Then what you got to do is make sure you're going to give what you do have. Understand that. And that's what God expects out of you. But listen, there's a third thing he goes on here. Not according to that which he doesn't have. Don't say you're going to give what you don't have. That's a lie. You don't do that. You make up your mind you're going to do it, then you look at what you've got, you make a commitment as to what you're going to do, and you limit yourself as to what you can accomplish. Now that's just common sense. Don't say I can give $1 million when you have a job that's being paid, you're being paid $10 an hour, you live in a rented house, you don't have that good a car, you don't have any money, you're not going to get an inheritance, and you certainly are not going to win the lottery. Don't say you're going to do that because there's no way you can do that. That's a lie. Don't say it that way. Make sure that we do what we say we can do. God judges us according to what we have, not according to what we don't have. He doesn't expect you to do what you can't do, but He does expect you to do what you can do. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, look at this. In Acts 11, verse 29, a giving thing again. They're talking to the people that are Gentiles. And in Judea, the church in Judea was having a hard time, probably because of the pressures that were put on them because of the Jewish leaders that were there. It was a hard time. Paul was going to gather money up to carry back to the Gentiles, or back to the Jews, from the Gentiles to the Jews. And he saw this as a way to help to bond the church together. Here you got two cultures, Jew and Gentile. How are you going to get them together? How are you going to get them working together? Well, let one help the other, and they'll see. You know, those people are not that bad. We need to talk good about them. We need to act good about them. We don't need to say anything. They've obeyed the same gospel we've obeyed, so we need to treat them in the right way. Listen to what he said here in Acts 11, verse 29. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, what he's got, what he can do, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. Okay, every person, according to what he had, then he was supposed to give. And you could decide if you wanted to, or you could decide if you didn't want to. But he said, what abilities you have, you do that. Use what you have. Brethren, God's not going to judge you on what you don't have, but He's going to judge us on what we do have. And what we do have is a lot more sometimes than we think. And we need to use what's ours. Now, Jesus illustrated this in Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 41 through 43, and it goes a little bit farther than that. Jesus is over, and he's down near the synagogue, and the people are putting their money in. Now, they did it a little bit different than us. We pass a plate around. What they did is sometimes they would have jars in the back, and people would go by a jar, and they would put their money in that jar for this, and put their money in this jar for this, and put this money in this jar, or they had one jar. I don't know exactly how they did it, but they did it that way. Jesus was over there. He was sitting over there looking at those fellas and people as they're putting their money in. He saw guys that had a lot. You could tell they had on the purple robes, had a lot of stuff on, and they were dropping in big money, you know. You didn't hear it tinkle when it hit. It just floated down because it's a big old check. Oh, man. And then this little widow came in, and for our vernacular, she had 2 cents, and she dropped it in. And you could hear it go clinkety, 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 clinkety as it went down to the bottom. And you could, and I'm sure that little woman said, oh, if it just didn't clink, if I had something where it wouldn't make a racket. Jesus called the disciples over and said, come over here, I want to show you something. I want you to see that lady right there? She has given more than anybody else. I can see a couple of them looking at each other and say, Jesus, did you hear hers when it hit? It hit about 4 times. It sounded like a 2 cents. Preachers can tell when money hits a plate. Did y'all know that? Be careful. We can't, but it makes you feel guilty, and we can do it that way. Jesus, did you see what those rich people gave? Their checks were big. It floated for 5 minutes. It was so nice. It just floated on down, and it was a big one. He said, yes, they gave of what they had, but she gave her whole living. Now see, Jesus judged by what she gave. Was it as much as those others? No. Not at all. But she gave what she had. And Jesus is looking for that. He's not looking for you to give what you don't have. He's not looking for you to do what you can't do. But He's looking for you to do what you can do. And that's how we're going to be judged. I've had preachers before, and I think I've mentioned this to you before. I've had preachers say, I'm going to get into multi-marketing business, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to preach for free. Oh, grow up and smell the roses. You're not going to do it. If you get to making enough money, you're going to get out of preaching and forget all about it. I'm going to give the church money when I make it. No, most of them never make it anyhow. And if they do, they're not going to be in preaching long. They're not going to do it. Brethren, what we've got to do is to realize we've got to give of what we've got. If I'm not giving my money now, I'm not going to give it when I'm rich. Amen. If I'm not using my talents now, if I get more talents, I'm not going to use them in the church. I'm not going to do it. What we've got to do is recognize that Jesus judges the talents, the abilities that a person has according to what they have. And it may not be as much as anybody else's, but it's just as great in the eyes of God. Somebody said, well, what's your job at church? Are you the preacher? No, I hadn't got that low yet. What do you do at church? Well, I pick up communion cups and I straighten up the song books. I don't think I'd tell that if I was you. That's a low-down job. You know what the Lord would say? He did it better than the preacher did his job today. He did it from his heart. That preacher may just be getting paid, but he did it from his heart. And Jesus looks and sees the greatest thing. I know you've heard the story about the man that had a dream. And he dreamed that he went to church. And he got to church and he went back and he sat on the back row because he's a little bit late. And in his dream, he looked around and everybody was moving their mouth, but he couldn't hear a thing. He said, one little girl sitting up front, and she was just bellowing it out. Hadn't hit a right note. I mean, if she hits one, she lucks up on it, like the rest, some of us. And an angel sat down beside him and said, this is what the Lord hears every first day of the week. He hears those that put their heart into it. He hears those that use what they have. And maybe the rest of us are just going through emotion. And we're not putting our whole heart into our worship. We're not putting our whole heart into our giving. We are not putting our whole heart into our service. It's just something that we do, and we get it done, and we go through it, and we go on home and go back to what we want to do. Brethren, we got to be people that we want to do this. We want to accomplish this. Now, look at this if you would. Don't hide what you have. Don't hide the talents that you have and the abilities that you have. Now, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Here's a man who has a lot. And Jesus said, this is kind of like the kingdom of heaven. A businessman has a whole lot. And he's going to use that. And what he's doing, he's fixing to go to a foreign country for a while. Maybe he's going on a business meeting or something like that. And he knows that he needs to put some of his money to work for himself. And so here he's got three servants and he calls them in. And he gives each one of those servants some of his goods. To one he gives 5 talents. To another he gives 2 talents. To another he gives 1 talent. Now, it's important that we realize this and that we understand what it is. Jesus in verse 15, it says, and to one he gave 5, to the another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Listen to this. Each according to his own ability. Why didn't he give the guy with 1 5? Why didn't he do that? He looked at that fellow and said, if I give him 5, he's not going to use it right. I'll give him 1. That way, if I lose it, it won't be much. He goes into his far country. And in that far country, he does his business and he comes back. And he calls his 3 servants before him. He said, okay, you need to give an account for what you have. The guy with 5 comes in and says, I've got 5 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys. The guy with 2 comes in. He said, give an account. He said, I've got 2, and I've got 2 others to go with it. I've got 4. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the 3rd man comes in. And as he comes in, he's kind of raking some dirt off the coin, trying to get it clean, you know. And he said, okay, I gave you 1. What did you do with it? Lord, I know that you're a hard guy. You're a businessman and you want money. I know all that. And so you know, you gather where you don't even sow. And he said, I was afraid and I took that coin and I hid it. And their time, the place to hide stuff was in the ground. And he said, I hid this and said, here it is, it's back. You got it back. Didn't lose anything. The Lord didn't say, wait a minute, I wanted 5 talents out of you. He didn't say, I want 2 talents out of you. Listen to this. Read this sometimes. He didn't even say, I want 1 talent out of you. He said, what I want out of you is what you can do. Why didn't you cut down to the gate, to the guy that loans money and say, listen, take this money and loan it out to somebody. You'd at least get a little interest on it. I don't know what CDs are paying right now. Somebody told me the other day it's like 1% or 2%, if that much. I don't know where that was, so don't ask me about the 2%. Somebody said, it's not paying anything. And I thought, 1% of a little is a lot better than nothing of nothing. And that's what this fellow was saying. He didn't say, you've got to do one. He said, just use what you have. This fellow was condemned not because he didn't have enough. It's because he didn't use what he had. Now, if the Lord's going to do that to those people, what's he going to do with us? If he gives us time, if he gives us abilities, if he gives us talents as far as those abilities are concerned, or if he even gives us money, what are we going to do with it? Save it up for ourselves? Use it on ourselves? Put it up for us? Are we going to feed the poor? Are we going to help the church? Are we going to give our money to the Lord like we need to? Are we going to do that? Are we going to be like the rich man? So, you've got it made. You got barns full. Don't worry about it. Just take it easy. God said, you're a fool. Let me tell you something. If we don't use our talents, and we don't use our abilities, and we don't use our money, and we don't use what the Lord has given us, we are a fool. We're a fool. We need to learn to use what we have. We need to learn to use that in the right way. Listen to this. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, each one of us shall give according to himself to God. He gives according to what he has to God. He gives his life. He gives what he has. He does what he can do. He might not be able to do this or do that, but he can do what he can. What if everybody in the church had a job to do and they did it? We wouldn't wear elders and preachers and deacons and the women out. We'd have a lot more done. And it'd be a lot easier. And I think the church would be a lot happier too. Because we're happy when we accomplish things. We're happy when we do those things. We must look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how am I using what I have to glorify God? And that's the whole thing. How am I using what I have? All right, last point here. We need to use what we have. We must be those people that use our abilities no matter how small they are, no matter how little they are. I've already mentioned about the widow and her mite, where Jesus said, that's more than these other people are giving. She gave her whole living, even though they gave much. You might be able to write a big check, but let me tell you something. Is it really from your heart? Is it really from your heart? Is it really from a person trying to do what God would have them to do? Now, in Acts the 9th chapter, starting in verse 36, we have a lady there named Dorcas. Her name is Tabitha from Joppa, but her translate her name, it says there, to Dorcas. Dorcas gets sick and she dies. I want you to listen about it. Here, Dorcas, here's this woman was full of good works, verse 36, and charitable deeds which she did. She did things. She was a woman. Well, at that time we might think, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, she did what she could under the pressure she was under. She did what she could. She used herself. She died. Well, the people there heard about Peter, and I think they probably thought, listen, let's go get Peter, and maybe he can raise us up. Here's a great Christian lady that has just died, and I use that term you fill in what you want to on that. She's died. Go over there. Maybe he can come over here and raise her up. So Peter comes over there. And Peter goes up, and he's in the upper room. And I'll say this. Some of you won't know this, but used to, they didn't have funerals. They laid them out. You remember that term? They laid them out. What they did is they just laid them out on something flat. Sometimes it was a coffin. Sometimes it wasn't a coffin, according to how much money you had. Well, they had her laid out. And when Peter came in, these ladies met him at the door. And they were saying, look at this cloak I got on. She made this. Look at these stitches, how tight those stitches are there. Look at this garment. She even paid for the material. Look at all this. Look at this. I mean, ladies were just shoving clothes in front of his face that this woman had done. What had she done? Had she ever preached a sermon? Has she raised the dead? Has she healed the sick? Has she gone up against the Pharisees? No, she made some clothes. She did what she could. She used herself. That's all God expects out of you. That's all He expects. He doesn't expect anything else. He expects what you have. He expects you to give what you have. He expects you to do what you can do. That's what He wants you to do. That's what He wants all of us to do. So here this lady did this. And look at the congregation, if you please, there, and how they spoke of her. Wouldn't you love for people to speak about you like that? They did what she could. Or they did what they could. They accomplished what they could accomplish. Now, listen to 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. Help others. Help others. As each one has received a gift. Something that you have been given. You don't earn it. You didn't make it. But you've been given that. Minister. Serve it to one another. Take that you have and help other people. Do what you can for other people. Listen as he talks here about as good stewards, as those good servants of God. You use what you have. You help other people with that so that they can do that. But that this is the manifold wisdom of God. This is the manifold grace of God. This is what you have these talents for. Why do you think God gave you the talents you have? To use for His honor, to use for His glory. That's the reason you have them. It's not so you can go out here and make $1 million in the world. It's so you can use it for His glory. Now you might go out, make $1 million, and you might help the church. A lot of people do that. A lot of rich people give to the church. A lot of people, rich people give to a lot of good things, good causes. I know Heritage, they get a lot of people down there that give a great deal to them. Some of these other works that people give to, East European missions and all, they could not exist without people using their talents and their abilities and giving it to them. That's what he's saying. Use what you have. Use it where you are. You know, I can't go all over the world. And Linda tells me I can't go anywhere else but here. But I can help other people do it. I can encourage other people in it. I can do what I can do. And God judges me according to what I can do, not what I can't do. Don't sit back and say, oh, I'd give more if I had more. If you're not giving now, you won't give later. If you're not working now, you're not going to work later. Some people say, well, when I get older and all these kids get gone, I'm really going to work in the church. Oh, no, you're not. You get your life set up, you're not going to do it. Well, you know, if I was 40 years younger, I'd really be in there teaching that class. I'd be doing this. I'd be doing that. Let me tell you something. Do it anyhow. Use what you have. You may be teaching one of those little classes, and you may have to have two of the students to help you get up out of the chair. And for some of us, that's what we're going to have to do. That's the reason in the adult class we get to stand up. But use what you have. Use it for the glory of God. And I guarantee you, your religion will be happier for you. You'll enjoy it. Other people will enjoy it. And you'll talk to other people about it. And they will talk to you about it.